Here we are with Congressman Paul Tonko, otherwise known affectionately around here as the Tonk, and as I am, the Tuck. I'm very interested, Paul Tonko, about a number of things, but let's talk a little bit about Independence Day. It's right around now. What are you thinking about July 4th? What does it mean to you?
Well, I think the whole spirit of independence, the fact that we broke from a mighty power, that we were determined, that we were a people that had a set of principles that would guide us, now celebrate, you know, centuries worth of existence where we've become a not only a strong power in the world scene, but we are still, I think, a dream that people continue to search for and want to incorporate with. And that dream is about, you know, growing the opportunity for people to join a land that is driven by freedom of speech and freedom of expression, freedom of ideas, and freedom of worship, if they so choose. That, to me, is the essence of our independence, and we have to make certain that we only grow that dream and not suffocate or roll it back.
Paul, that was a very good description of what July 4th should mean to us. We had a past outgoing president of the United States, Donald Trump, who I think was the most dangerous of all presidents that I know anything about in terms of establishing what I would call an anti-democratic base in our way of doing things. Do you disagree with that?
No, I think it was attempts to roll back a lot of the progress that has been struck by both parties over the years. Things that, you know, we should take great pride in. The fact that we had a Clean Air Act that was advanced by a Republican administration. The fact that we had Social Security made available as a safety net advanced by a Democratic president. Efforts to make certain that people can experience the American dream that is enabled by, you know, the immigrant power that comes to this country. And when he attempted to deny some of those opportunities and to roll them back, I think it was an attack on the American ideals, which are unique across the world.
You know, Paul Tonko, one of the things I always respected about you is that you're not a BS artist. You've had formal training as an engineer, and I couldn't wait to ask you, what's your reaction to the condo collapse near Miami, and should we be learning any lessons from this tragedy, and is there any opportunity to prevent this from happening in the future?
Well, I think it really calls for a very exhaustive review. I have heard from colleagues, my colleagues from Florida, that in the 80s, there was somewhat of a relieving of regulations and standards for construction. When we think of the soil types, which are heavily sand in Florida, I don't think you can easily roll back any regulations as it relates to construction. And it appears as though there were some concerns expressed in recent years about the state of that infrastructure. And, you know, for those who want to cut corners or ease regulations and obviously make it more profitable, there sometimes is a price to pay. So I think there will be a call for thorough review of how this happened. But what a tragedy. We have taken a moment of, and observed a moment of silence on the House floor at the request of Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Florida delegation in the House. But to just watch this unfold on a daily basis through the media, it's just so painful to see how slowly they're making progress to recover bodies or in one case that I can recall, save a life.
Is Paul Tonko, is there a federal role here? I mean, after all, this is a state thing, a municipal thing. Is there something that the federal government should be doing?
Well, you know, I think it may call for federal standards for construction, especially as it relates to high rises. You know, number one, you're the enormity of these buildings, the foundation that supports them needs to be as strong and effective as engineering would require. And so there's an opportunity there to perhaps allow for federal standards that are enhanced. And there's a role, too, to have learned from this effort as to, you know, inspections that should be routine and responded to. So time will tell us what did or did not happen here. But again, a tragedy, however you measure it, and precious lives lost, that really reminds us that for every regulation we may try to escape, there are regulations that that came about for just and reasonable causes.
I'm going to ask you an inside politics question, if you don't mind terribly.
Sure.
Now, your former colleague, your former state assemblyman, one-term New York congressman, Anthony Brindisi, who we've interviewed many times on this program, has decided not to seek a rematch against Claudia Tenney. He beat her once, she beat him. Did you ever, have you had any opportunity to talk about that with him and maybe to clue us in as to what really happened here? Was it the fact that he thought maybe that district was going to get eliminated and what was the use?
Well, no, I haven't talked to him directly of late. I had encouraged him to keep an open mind as it relates to the seat. But from what I'm hearing from my colleagues, especially from the New York delegation, is that, you know, it was kind of a family decision that came concerning the re-election effort. He was very effective as a Congress rep. I know he put a lot of hours into it, and it's a difficult district to maintain in the Democratic column. And I think that, you know, just family decision was that it would again be tremendously draining of time. That requires a huge, huge effort. But again, it's a decision that I believe Anthony will make, has made perhaps with his family, but he still may revisit that decision.
Let me talk to you a little bit about the Democrats' voting rights bill. You know, every American should have the right to vote. Obviously, the Republicans figuring that they can are going to roll back many of the expanded opportunities for voting that have been out there. How do you react to that?
Well, I think this nation is confronting a full-scale assault on the right to vote to a scale that has not been seen since the days of Jim Crow. And so that I think it's imperative that my colleagues and I push this effort for the People Act. We certainly need our colleagues in the Senate to take action. It's landmark legislation that would help end countless attempts to suppress the vote of millions of people by increasing access to the ballot box, through the elimination of gerrymandering, which we see happening, the expansion of early voting. My God, just the other day, the decision on the Arizona situation tells us that they don't want to expand early voting. They want to deny it. And it's these indirect attacks on in clusters of people that are really troublesome.
Well, it's going
to prevent. You know, we're hoping to prevent voter purges too. So, but you know, it's obvious that many, many states of the 50 are taking action, real action, through their state legislative bodies to suppress the vote.
I could say they're Republican-led state legislative bodies to do this, and in my opinion, to steal the election. That's a terrible thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, they have found that they can win if they discount various groups of people, and that at times would include the diverse populations, people of color, making certain that they hold on to that base that supports them. And as we grow more diverse, as we grow stronger as a reflection of the American dream, there's these attempts to suppress voters. So H.R. 1 in our House has been passed. We need to make certain that the filibuster isn't the lame exercise that enables them to escape that responsibility. And for the first time, we have a bill here that would create a code of ethics also for the United States Supreme Court, a largely secretive and unregulated branch of our government, and we would increase public disclosure requirements and hold the court accountable. So, you know, a massive overhaul here of ethics laws to ensure that public servants paid by the taxpayers work in the public interest, and to make certain that voter suppression isn't allowed to just happen randomly, as you indicate, in many of these states that are Republican-held legislative bodies.
Paul Tucker, we love having you on. I could talk to you for hours more, and we'll have you back. Believe me, we will, because it's always such a pleasure to have you. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you, good doctor.
Thank you, Tunk. Representative Paul Tunko, Democrat of New York's 20th District. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.